Chapter 8. Torglog's axe swept towards Grimm's side. The blow was brutal and vicious, with the might and malignity of the Plague Lord's bulk behind it. What the attack lacked was discipline and finesse, skill to complement strength. Grimm twisted away from his enemy's strike, catching the blow on the haft of his halberd. The collision of blighted steel against holy sigmarite sent a metallic trill ringing out across the frozen sea. Grimm rolled with the impact, turning his block into a sliding parry. Before Torglug was aware of the manoeuvre, the Stormcast drove the blade of his halberd into the warlord's ribs. Grimm felt his weapon pierce the diseased warlord, heard the blade slice deep into his corrupt flesh. A soupy broth of blood and maggots streamed down his halberd as he drew back. Against a normal foe, it would have been a mortal wound. Torglug, however, didn't even seem to notice. Instead, he lunged at Grimm once more, chopping at him with a downward sweep of his axe that would have split the Lord Castellan from crown to hip had it connected. Again, Grimm exploited his enemy's rage, using Torglug's own fury and impatience to provide an opening for retaliation. It wasn't long before the warlord left himself exposed. Torglug's axe was a blur as he delivered a blizzard of attacks, trying to cut down Grimm. The assault fell into a rhythm before long, a pattern a more controlled warrior would never have allowed himself to slip into. Grimm followed that pattern, blocking and dodging until he found the opening he was waiting for. When Torglug swung his body around to strike at Grimm's leg, the Stormcast plunged ahead, driving the edge of his halberd against the warlord's hip. The sigmarite blade slashed through Torglug's armour, leaving a jagged strip flapping against his knee. The body beneath was no less savaged, bile gushing from a wound in which the white of bone glistened. This time Grimm knew better than to trust the severity of the injury to cripple Torglug's counter. Instead he raised the warding lantern, shining its light into the cluster of blemished eyes. More than his wound, it was the stinging rays from the lantern that caused the warlord to stagger back. Grimm glanced past Torglug. The way was clear for the warlord's Blight Kings to range out across the ice and resume their hunt for the Lady of Vines. Instead, the hideous throng stood idle, diseased spectators to the fray betwixt their master and the commander of the Hallowed Knights. The warbands crossing the Living Bridge displayed no desire to press onwards while the fate of their warlord was in question. By holding Torglug here, Grimm was delaying the strongest and fiercest fighters in the warlord's entire legion. A moment before, Grimm had cursed the abominable vitality that preserved Torglug and allowed the warlord to keep fighting. Now he was thankful for the dark blessing that hung over his enemy. Alive and fighting, the warlord would make the greater part of his legion tarry here, waiting to learn his fate. Grimm had to draw out their duel for as long as possible. For a third time, Grimm's halberd slashed into Torglug's body. This time the blade gnawed at the Plague Lord's swollen gut, slicing across his skin. The instant the blow landed, Grimm pulled back, blunting the impetus behind the stroke. He had no need of the warding lantern to fend off Torglug's retaliation. The warlord withdrew of his own accord, retreating several paces. As Grimm's halberd cut into his body, Torglug had felt the sudden lack of force behind the blow. Now Grimm could see the gleam of suspicion in his foe's eyes. Taking another step back, the warlord called out to his men.
"Worms of Krogod!" he shouted. "You are being a cross crevice! Path is being clear for you! Be finding Radiant Queen!"
Torglug raised his axe, catching Grimm's halberd on its haft and pushing the Lord Castellant back. Grimm fought in earnest now, his gambit for delaying the plague hosts undone. While he fought Torglug, diseased warriors streamed out across the ice, charging into the snow as they tried to find the Lady of Vines. He couldn't hold back that plague-addled tide. All he could do was try to hurt the enemy as dearly as he could before he was overwhelmed. If he could cut down Torglug, then the slaves of Nurgle would be thrown into confusion, plunged into bickering among themselves while they decided upon a new warlord to lead them. Now it was Torglug who fought with cold detachment and steely discipline. Gone were the reckless, brutal assaults. Instead, the warlord fought with insidious craft, exploiting to the full his monstrous strength and uncanny speed. Grimm found himself giving ground to his foe, hard-pressed to fend off the relentless string of attacks with his halberd in one hand and his lantern in the other. One advantage yet remained with Grimm. The light of his warding lantern continued to vex Torglug, nettling the warlord and causing him to instinctively flinch from it. It was a slim advantage, serving only to blunt some of the precision and ardour of the warlord's blows. Torglug abandoned the heavy-handed attacks he'd been inflicting. Taking up his monstrous axe in one hand, he swung the weapon with horrifying ease, trading the sheer strength of his double-handed strikes for the speed of single-handed chops. Grim found it harder to intercept the swifter blows, but far less arduous to parry. After a minute or so of falling into a pattern of strike and block, it was Grim who became the victim of settling into the rhythm of battle. With shocking abruptness, Torglug suddenly tossed his axe from one hand to the other. In almost the same motion, he brought the blackened blade slashing upwards. The diseased axe clove across the face of the warding lantern, quenching its holy light. The blade swept on, crunching through the broken lamp to hew into the hand that held it. Grim cried out in agony as his hand was severed by Torglug's axe. He saw it go spinning away, sliding across the ice. The stump burned with the putrid bite of the unclean blade, sending pain lancing through his body. Blood bubbled up from his torn flesh, spraying across the ice and snow. Even his endurance struggled to overcome the agony of his mutilation. Only his devotion to Sigmar and to the duty entrusted to him by Gardas kept him standing. As he was struck, Grim heard Talon snarl. The dutiful Griffhound lunged at Torglug, his beak snapping shut around the warlord's arm, savaging his putrid flesh with sidewise twists of its head. Torglug howled in pain and brought his armored boot slamming into Talon's side. The hound cried out in pain and was thrown back, ripping a grisly gash in its enemy as its beak was torn free. Grim cried out in rage, flinging himself at the warlord. Torglug swatted the Lord Castellant aside, mocking him.
"I am killing the master! Then is Doug!" he chuckled.
Torglug was back to swinging his axe with both hands again. The warlord expected his crippled foe to be easy prey. A snarl of surprise and aggravation rattled from behind his helm when Grim refused to be slaughtered.
"Fanatic is not knowing when to quit,"
he spat at Grim. Grim chopped at Torglug with his halberd, nearly striking the plague lord's leg.
"Duty ends only in death," he told the diseased monster.
"I am being ending your duty,"
Torglug snarled. The warlord spun his bloated bulk, putting all of his weight behind a murderous blow that slammed into Grim's side. Sigmarite plate stove in as the axe smashed into him. He felt ribs splinter, slivers of bone stabbing through his flesh. The impact knocked him from his feet, sent him hurtling across the ice. For an instant, Grim tried to regain his feet, unwilling to concede the field to Torglug. He'd failed in his mission. Such was the thought that tormented him as darkness began to blot out his vision. As the darkness settled over him, a prayer tumbled from Grim's lips.
"Mighty Sigmar, do not forget the faithful."
Surrounded by his acolytes, Slaugoth Maggotfang peered at the entrails he'd removed from a slaughtered rotfly. The omens he read in the cancerous organs were anything but reassuring. For a moment, he tried to tell himself that the calamity he read there represented the fall of Guthrax into the Sea of Serpents. The adepts of the Plague Coven called out to the sorcerer as their rotten familiars came flying back to them, buzzing and cawing as they reported Torglug's victory over the leader of the Lightning Men. The way ahead was open to the plague hosts now. Entire tribes and war herds were charging across the bridge Slaugoth had formed from the Sloth Crawlers. The frozen sea would soon be rife with hunters seeking the Lady of Vines. The Ever Queen's guardian might elude them for a time, but she wouldn't escape. How to explain the ominous portent he saw in the guts of the rotfly? Should he seek out Torglug and warn him of the ill omens? Slaugoth was at a loss for an answer, until a peal of thunder drew his eyes skywards. At once he could see the change in the clouds. They had become even darker and more violent than during the worst of the snowstorm, and to his witch sight there was an unmistakable glamour shining behind the clouds, an aura that was as hateful as it was familiar. It was the same brilliance that burned within each Lightning Man, the despised light of Sigmar. Slaugoth watched as the storm descended, sending sheets of hail splattering down upon the frozen sea. Lightning and thunder hurtled down from the sky. It was no coincidence that the storm's fury struck in the path of Torglug's hunters. The sorcerer chided himself for his arrogance. He had felt the pestilent hand of Nurgle reach out to help his followers when they needed to cross onto the ice. Now a different god had intervened to aid the enemy. Slaugoth should have anticipated such a possibility and taken whatever steps he could to offset it. As the lightning crashed downwards, Slaugoth caught hold of a worm-eaten vulture, the consort of one of his acolytes. Wringing the creature's neck, he sent its spirit soaring into the sky, seeing in his mind what it saw with its spectral eyes. Where the lightning had struck, there now stood dozens of warriors, lightning men arrayed in armor of white and gold, rather than the silver and blue of the enemies they'd been fighting. Sigmar Godking had answered the prayers of his followers and sent them reinforcements from Azir. The plague coven sensed the sorcerer's alarm. They began to murmur among themselves, fright pulsing through their veins. Slaugoth quietened them with a threatening glare. By calling upon Nurgle, he had drawn the grandfather's attention to himself. If Torglug failed, it wouldn't be the warlord alone who suffered their god's wrath. The sorcerer was determined to escape such a fate. A second storm host was a formidable obstacle, but one that might be offset by summoning allies of their own. From the crest of a frozen wave, Slaugoth and his acolytes could see the churning waters of the Sea of Serpents. They could see the marine reptiles that feasted so greedily upon the warriors who fell within their reach. Slaugoth could feel the contagion that polluted those mighty monsters, the diseased infestations that had altered them when the Jade Kingdom sickened. Already they were changing, becoming creatures of the Plague Father. All it needed was a comparatively simple ritual to make them servants as well, to bind their Orphidian minds to the will of Nurgle. At a gesture from the sorcerer, his acolytes fell upon one of their own, dragging the weakest of the adepts into the circle within which the rotfly had been butchered. Slaugoth drew his dagger across the man's throat, silencing his screams and sending a spray of arterial blood shooting across the snow. With his staff, the sorcerer dragged the blood across the ice, pulling it into sinuous shapes and sigils. Old magic coursed through his body as he drew upon arcane forces ancient beyond imagining. The bloody shapes began to writhe and wriggle in a noxious semblance of life. In the water, the vast serpents copied the movements of the pictures Slaugoth had drawn from the acolyte's blood.
"Go!" Slaugoth hissed to the sea monsters. "Go! Find! Seek! Kill!"
A black-toothed smile crawled across his face as he watched the serpents submerge and slip beneath the ice. The stormcasts might intercede with Torglug's hunters above the ice, but there was precious little they could do to oppose the serpentine hounds the sorcerer had sent to stalk the Lady of Vines from below. The Silverneth could feel the thinning of the ice beneath their feet, sense the flowing waves underneath them. They were closing upon the far shore of the frozen sea. The Lady of Vines would soon be on firm ground again, and much closer to the ancient places where she hoped to take the Queen Seed. Suddenly, the ice split open only a few yards from the branch wraith. A gigantic serpent boiled up from the rent, hissing and snapping as it struck at her. The creature's grey hide was mottled with foul red growths, and clumps of black mites scuttled between its scales. The mark of Nurgle was upon it, shining in its eyes. The Lady of Vines leapt from the path of the striking reptile, its jaws slamming into the ice at her feet. Before it could strike again, the last of the hallowed knights in her retinue rushed forwards to engage the monster. A mixed force of sword-armed liberators and judicators with skybolt bows, they harried the monstrosity, pinning it down while shouting to the branch wraith to press on without them. It was a scene that had been repeated several times since the Lady of Vines had left so many of her defenders behind to guard the bridges. Rushing up from the depths, the mammoth serpents had shattered the ice in their vicious efforts to stop the branch wraith's escape. Some of the snakes had ripped open their own hides when they smashed through the frozen surface, striking at everything around them in agonized fury. Others had displayed an eerie craftiness, smashing a series of holes from which to surprise and confuse their prey. With each encounter, her retinue was lessened, until all that was left to her now was a bodyguard of dryads. Even these might have been enough if the branch wraith could have crossed the frozen sea faster. The sea serpents conjured from the depths of the sea were but one obstacle. Another was the mounting tremors caused by the Jotunberg. The giant hadn't relapsed into a deathly sleep as it had when summoned by Alariel. The Jotunberg shivered and quaked as its body was slowly consumed by the rot of Nurgle. Each movement sent a rumble through the ice, fracturing and splitting the surface, causing the dryads to sink their roots down lest they pitch and fall. The very storm that concealed them from the plague hosts wrought its own toll, chilling the blood sap flowing through the Sylvaneth and slowing their bodies. The Lady of Vines refused to waver from her cause. The queen seed cradled in her hands spurred her onwards. Nothing could make her abandon the task before her. The radiant light of Alariel could not be allowed to depart from Gairon. Ahead, the Lady of Vines could just see the shore, which was lined with statues, their huge forms rendered shapeless by age and decay. The race was nearly won. Beyond the statues were the ancient places, where benevolent enchantments could still hold sway. This near to the shore, far from the fallen Jotunberg, the ice was thin, crackling beneath the probing steps of the dryads. Cautiously, the Sylvaneth tried to advance, but a mighty worm-like horror erupted from beneath the ice, gulping down a pair of dryads in its quivering maw. The Lady of Vines and her court retreated before the revolting monstrosity, watching for it to sink into the depths. Suddenly, the Lady of Vines turned, the glow of her eyes dipping into a baleful light. On the verge of escape, the enemy came for her once more. Out of the swirling snow and ice, she could see hideous figures marching towards her. At their head was one no Sylvaneth could forget, the one-horned figure of Torglug Treecutter. Caught, cornered between the gigantic worm and the advancing warriors, the Lady of Vines altered her song once more. The keening wail became an angry screech. The slight aspects of the branch wraith and her dryads darkened, their hands lengthening into dagger-like talons. The time for running was over. Now it was time to fight. Torglug roared at his warriors, goading them on through the raging storm. He cared not for the driving rain or the crashing thunder. His attention was fixed upon the radiant glow of the queen seed, the prize he would capture for Nurgle. He alone could see the glow of the seed through the fog and snow. It was enough that he could see it. His role was to lead. It was for others to follow him to glory. That glory was near enough to taste when Torglug stalked out of the fog to see the Lady of Vines standing before him. The branch wraith had stopped running and had turned to confront her pursuers. Torglug smiled when he saw the gigantic worm lashing about the shallows behind her. The last stand hadn't been her choice then, but rather a gift from Nurgle. He didn't feel cheated to find his quarry already trapped. After such a long campaign, nothing could spoil the taste of victory for him. Torglug motioned his putrid Blight Kings to stay back while he approached the Lady of Vines. His armored boots crunched across the ice as he closed upon his prey. He was disappointed that even now he was incapable of detecting anything like fear or despair in the branch wraith's visage. The Sylvaneth were an eldritch breed. The Eight Realms would be better once their kind were exterminated. The warlord forgot about the branch wraith when he saw the glowing object nestled in the hollow of her trunk. He could feel the vital energies that pulsated from the queen seed. The parasitic rotworm nestling in his gut writhed in response to that invigorating aura. The light shining from the seed was different than the harsh glare of the warding lantern, though unsettling in its own way. The warding lantern had felt hard and condemning, while the radiance of the queen seed was mournful, redolent of disappointment and regret. Torglug could recognize the entreaty, even if it had no power over him. He had been damned long ago. It was too late for mercy. A spasm from the distant Jotunberg caused the ice between Torglug and his prey to fracture. Lunging forwards with a grace that belied his bloated bulk, the warlord leapt across the crevice and balanced himself upon the broken ice, his trio of eyes fixed once more upon the Lady of Vines.
"You are giving her to me," he said. "I am knowing just the garden where that seed is being planted. The grandfather will be growing something special there."
Torglug knew the Silverneth would never surrender Alariel to him without a fight. His words were but a cruel barb to spur them into reckless action. The foolish lightning man with the lantern was to thank for giving him the idea. With a wailing shriek, several of the dryads attending the Lady of Vines charged at Torglug. He leapt towards them, abandoning his precarious stand on the ice. Slamming down, he brought his axe slashing around, hewing through the trunk of one dryad with a single blow. The creature's severed halves crashed into the charging figures of its companions. Before they could recover, the warlord was among them. A chop of his blade split the face of one tree creature. A driving blow ripped the leg from another and sent the mangled Silverneth tumbling into the water. It was only a matter of moments before Torglug had dispatched his enemies. He looked across at the Lady of Vines and the rest of her entourage. He could feel the hate rolling off them. To the Silverneth, he was the tree cutter of Tyre, most hated of all Nurgle's warlords. Now he could style himself the Annihilator of Athelweard. Soon he would be the sorrow of the Silverneth. Torglug pressed his thumb against his vile axe, slicing his blubbery skin and drawing a bead of yellow pus from his diseased veins.
"You are surrendering her to me, or I am taking her from your splintered corpses!"
The warlord was ready to make good his promise when the sounds of battle rang out from the fog behind him. Enemies had engaged his putrid Blight Kings, lightning men and Silverneth trying to rescue the Lady of Vines and her charge. Well, his warriors would hold them off, keep them back until it was too late. This close to victory, there would be no escape. Rushing forwards, Torglug brought his axe chopping towards the Lady of Vines. The branch wraith leapt back, just beyond his reach, then stunned the warlord by darting in to rake him with her claws. Grey-brown filth slopped from his flabby flesh as his skin was shredded. Torglug tried to smash down his antagonist, but again she slipped past his assault. Hefting his diseased axe, Torglug moved to press his attack. Before he could take more than a few steps, the rest of the dryads flew at him with their claws outstretched. Indescribable fury seized the warlord. All the frustration and impatience of the campaign boiled up inside him, spilling over in a paroxysm of savagery. Torglug swept his axe across the plunging bodies of the dryads, splitting trunks and severing limbs with each blow. He didn't even feel the talons that slashed his flesh, despite the ragged wounds they left. What injury could compare to the plagues Nurgle had visited upon his favored champion? Torglug stalked across a litter of dead and dismembered dryads. He glared in disbelief as the fallen Silverneth began to rise, sprouting new limbs to replace the ones he'd cut away, glowing with a new vibrancy that echoed the light of the Queen Seed. The Queen Seed. The miraculous restoration must be Alariel's doing, an exertion of her divine powers. Torglug would have that power. He would make a present of it to Nurgle, use it to buy him the respite and relief that was his due. Ignoring the claws of the revived dryads, Torglug strode towards the Lady of Vines.
"You are standing between me and my destiny," he told her. "That is being bad place for standing," he added, raising his axe.
Even as Torglug moved to attack, burning pain flared through his bloated body. A wave of searing light spilled over him, throwing him across the ice. Smoke rose from his charred flesh, and strips of melted armor dropped from him as he struggled to his feet. Through a haze of smoldering agony, he turned to face his assailant. His foe was another lightning man, this one clad in white armor with a radiant crest bolted to his helm. Wings of shimmering light spread from the warrior's back, and in his hand he held a lantern more terrible to the Plague Lord's eyes than the one he had cut from Lord Castellant Grimm. Torglug's adversary pointed a golden sword at the warlord.
Face me, monster,
the white warrior said.
I am Knight Aziras Diamar, and I bring you this message. Your time is over.
The Lightning Man's beacon opened once more, and from it another surge of searing light slammed into Torglug's diseased bulk. The warlord was sent reeling, smoke rising from his scorched flesh. The stink of burst boils filled his lungs, and his ears rang with the deafening echoes of the blast. Struggling once more to his feet, Torglug shook his horned head. He could see Diamar turn towards the Lady of Vines. Faintly he could hear his words to her.
Flee, lady! I will hold them!
Torglug wondered at the Lightning Man's choice of words. Then his eyes strayed to the ice at his feet. He could see the vast worm-like shape slithering just below the surface. He looked back towards Diamar and laughed.
I am thinking not for long, he hissed.
Grim knew he was still alive by the pain that surged through his body. It felt as if liquid fire had been poured into his veins, searing and scorching every speck of his being. The memory of Torglug's axe smashing his warding lantern and hacking through his hand flared across his vision. As he slowly opened his eyes, he expected to see the ghastly warlord standing over him, ready to finish the job with another swing of his blade. What he saw instead was the angry sky above the Sea of Serpents. The storm had intensified, lightning and thunder joining the downpour of freezing rain and snow. Grim gasped as he realized how familiar the storm was to him. No natural tempest, not even a magical snowburst conjured by the Lady of Vines. This was one of Sigmar's storms, a manifestation of the God King's power. It was upon such storms that the Stormcasts descended to the realms to confront the Slaves of Chaos. The dismay of a moment before vanished. Grim had felt at a loss when Torglug saw through his ploy and sent his vile warriors hunting after the Queen Seed. His failure seemed complete when the enemy struck Talon, cut off his hand and left him for dead on the ice. Now, however, he was filled with a new determination. Sigmar had not forgotten the Hallowed Knights. Contrary to the mocking suggestions of Torglug, the God King hadn't forsaken his faithful warriors. There was still hope. While there was life, the prospect of victory was never impossible. He heard a whine and turned his head to see Talon sitting beside him, guarding his body and his halberd. Grim was heartened to see the Griffhound had survived the fight, though the creature looked the worse for wear. He needed his weapon now, not to strike down his enemies, but to help him back to his feet. Standing the halberd upright, he pulled himself along its haft, gradually lifting himself until he was off the ice. Every motion brought a surge of agony rushing through him. The ghastly wound in his side opened up again, blood dribbling out to spatter in the snow. Drawing a deep breath made his ribs ache and jostled the splintered bones piercing his flesh. Grim realized that he would need to be judicious about how much he taxed his mangled body. Without the warding lantern, he couldn't call upon its healing light to restore himself. He searched across the ice, finding the lamp lying on its side. It had been badly damaged by Torglug's assault, but he could feel the faintest flicker of enchantment still smouldering within it. Carefully, he lifted it off the ice and fastened it to his belt. Reluctantly, Grim looked to the ragged stump where his hand had been. Compounding the horror of his mutilation was the diseased crust that discolored the wound. It was that filth which had prevented him from bleeding out, but he knew it was no mercy it offered him. He could almost see the corruption from Torglug's axe gnawing away at him, polluting his body with its purulent influence. It was no mundane contagion that could inflict itself upon a stormcast. Sounds of battle made Grim forget his own pain. Tearing his eyes away from the gory stump, he looked out across the frozen sea. He couldn't see any of Torglug's warriors, but just behind the swirling fog, he caught the distinct flash of skybolt bows loosing arrows. It was from this direction the sounds of conflict rose. Whether the embattled warriors were Hallowed Knights or from another storm host, it was enough that they were enemies of Torglug. Steeling himself against the pain, Grim limped towards the fighting, Talon following faithfully after him. When he emerged from the fog, Grim found himself behind a chamber of judicators and a wargrove of dryads. Hallowed Knights and Sylvaneth had come against a tribe of marauders, striking at the barbarians from behind. He recognized the foul banners the enemy carried as belonging to the accursed Threespine tribe. The marauders had been caught in the valley between two frozen waves. Had they retreated or regrouped, they might have come around and surrounded their attackers. Instead, with the viciousness of their breed, the Three Spines had simply turned about and charged into their tormentors. The Judicators and their allies had adopted a simple but effective deployment. While the Dryads barred the gap between the waves, the archers loosed volley after volley into the massed barbarians. The resultant slaughter was considerable, the shafts of lightning falling with such frequency that pits had opened in the ice to drop luckless marauders to a watery grave. A fierce cheer rose from the Judicators when they spotted Lord Castellant Grim emerge from the fog.
"Only the faithful!"
they shouted. Despite the pain it caused him, Grim returned their cry. The shouts had a profound effect upon the Three Spines. Thinking their adversaries had received substantial reinforcements, the barbarian attack faltered and then broke. The marauders turned to retreat back the way they had come. Grim was surprised when the Dryads didn't pursue them, even more surprised when the Judicators sent no arrows against the reeling enemy. It was then that he spotted a lone figure standing upon the crest of one of the waves. Garbed in silver armor, the apparition raised his hammer skywards. In response, a crackling storm of lightning came smashing down. The ice towards which the Three Spines fled was shattered. Fissures snaked away, opening beneath the very feet of the marauders. Howling in shock and terror, the barbaric warriors were sucked down into the icy water. In the space of only heartbeats, the entire tribe was obliterated.
Morbus, Grim laughed.
He had thought the Lord Relict had destroyed, along with Angston and the Decimators. It was a relief beyond measure to find his friends still alive. By the time Grim reached the Judicators, Morbus had climbed down from the icy summit. The Lord Relictor's armor was scorched and blackened, and half of his skull helm was melted away, looking as if it had been torn apart by monstrous claws. Grim shuddered to think what Morbus's wounds must have looked like before he turned his healing powers upon himself. From the expression he saw on the exposed half of Morbus's face, Grim imagined it would have been similar to the injuries he'd been dealt. The Lord Relictor studied him closely, shaking his head when he came to examine the infected stump.
"My power can mend the gash in your side," Morbus told him. "I may even be able to mend your lantern. But cleansing your hand, or where your hand should be, is another thing."
Grim glanced away, looking over the Judicators. He could see the hope in their eyes, the hope that he knew his presence as their commander inspired. He was surprised to find even the Dryads displaying an interest in him, something perhaps more profound than simple curiosity. After all they had endured upon the ice, maybe even the Sylvaneth had come to depend upon him.
"Can you mend me enough so I can fight?" Grim asked, lowering his voice to a whisper.
Morbus nodded.
"The stump will torment you," he warned. "If you can ignore the pain, you might hold your own."
He stared hard into Grim's eyes.
"But I wouldn't advise it. We've lost too many already. If they see you fall..."
"And if they see me fight, it will inspire them," Grim objected.
Things were dire enough already without Morbus's bleak perspective to further darken them.
"They need that more than anything right now."
"I've said my piece," Morbus shrugged.
He pointed to the sky above.
"You saw the thunderstrike. Great Sigmar has dispatched reinforcements to aid us. I saw some of them from a distance, prosecutors soaring above the ice. They bore the colours of the Knights Excelsior."
Grim digested this information. He must have been insensible during the thunderstrike, but to know their reinforcements were from the Knights Excelsior gave him comfort. They were a fierce and determined storm host, a formidable ally and a daunting enemy.
"I didn't see how many descended in the storm," Morbus said. "The numbers of Chaos Warriors I've seen prowling the ice makes me think there can't be many.
not enough to simply brush aside Torglug's legion.
Looking again at the angry sky, Grim felt the bite of the Lord Relictor's words.
"Then it is still up to us to protect the Everqueen," he said. "Minister to me as best you can, old friend, for we must find the Lady of Vines and keep her from Torglug's grasp."
Morbus gave Grim another severe look. "Which concerns you more, protecting the Queen's seed, or getting a chance to cross blades with that scum again?"
"Sigmar willing, both are in my future," Grim told him.
The enormous sea worm burst through the ice pack, sending great chunks flying in every direction. An undulating wail rippled from its heaving bulk as it angrily lashed about trying to find prey. Nearly blind, all but mindless, the monstrous thing posed as much of a threat to the servants of Nurgle as it did to Diamar. Clutches of Torglug's minions came stalking out of the fog while he battled the Lightning Man. Blight Lord Gorgas Festermore had rallied some of the putrid Blight Kings. The diseased warriors rushed out of the fog like crazed beasts, charging towards the winged stormcast. The abruptness of the assault made Diamar climb into the air and turn his beacon against the Blight Kings. Torglug forced his battered body into action, seizing upon his foe's distraction to close the distance between them. Before he could reach Diamar, the sea worm struck. Torglug had seen it swimming beneath the ice for some minutes, but the monstrosity had kept its distance. Perhaps even its brute instinct was intimidated by the Lightning Man's beacon. Whatever the cause, the howls of battle as the putrid Blight Kings rushed towards Diamar had lured the Leviathan up from the deeps. Ice split and fractured as the wormy titan snapped its ghoulish jaws in search of prey. Blight Kings were pitched into the watery depths as the surface shattered under their feet. Torglug fought his way across the splintering ice, hurdling the pits that the worm's ferocity opened, sprinting across crumbling ledges before they could finish disintegrating. The warlord heard the worm slip back beneath the water. What eerie senses guided the obscenity he could not say, but somehow the blind beast felt his presence on the ice. He saw its grisly shadow start towards him from below. Torglug raised his voice in a defiant shout, hurling insults up at the hovering Diamar.
"Are God King's dogs being afraid to be crossing blades with Torglug?"
"Worms of Nurgle aren't fought," Diamar declared. "They're purged."
Swooping downwards, he turned the beam of his beacon upon the bloated plague lord. Torglug's body was racked by agony as his flesh cooked under the searing light. Every nerve in his body spasmed at once. Only a caprice of chance kept his fingers locked about the haft of his axe. Only the abnormal vitality Nurgle had gifted him kept his heart from bursting or his lungs from collapsing. His mouth tightened in a rictus grin, his teeth severing the tip of his tongue as they bit down. Diamar dived towards the smouldering warlord. He raised his glistening starblade, its ancient symbols glowing with power.
"Too long has this realm suffered your presence," he snarled.
Through the searing pain that ravaged him, Torglug managed to laugh. He could see his enemy coming towards him, but he wondered if Diamar noticed the shadow writhing under the ice.
"Glory I am finding here, Dog of Sigmar,"
Torglug spat, blood dripping from the mask of his helm.
"But you are finding only death."
The warlord brought his blackened axe swinging upwards, blocking Diamar's blade and pushing the winged warrior back. At the same time, the sea worm erupted from below, rising in a leprous column of quivering flesh and snapping jaws. The creature's maw chomped at the Lightning Man, narrowly missing him as he plunged back towards the ice. He crashed hard against the pack, the fragile surface cracking beneath his weight. Cautiously, he regained his feet, starblade gripped in one mailed fist, the beacon clenched in his other. Torglug could feel the righteous outrage of his enemy as Diamar turned towards him.
"You will pay for that, monster," Diamar snarled.
"Be having dinner with Worm of Nurgle,"
Torglug sneered, as he tossed a chunk of ice thrown up by the sea monster towards Diamar. It landed on the already cracked surface, sending a spider web of fresh splits snaking away in every direction. Pops and groans rose from the impact, presaging the collapse to come. Before the surface broke beneath his feet, Diamar was in motion. The Lightning Man leapt forwards as the ice gave way completely, flinging himself at Torglug. Plague Lord and Knight Azeros collided, their armored bodies rolling across the ice. More cracks and creaks accompanied their struggling figures, the weakened surface unable to support both their weight and their violence. At last it split under them, dropping both into the frigid water. Torglug lunged for one side of the pit, his axe hooking the edge before his armor could drag him down. Diamar floundered on the other side of the pool, forced to let his beacon sink into the depths while he pulled himself back onto the ice. The two adversaries glared at one another from opposite sides of the pool. Diamar glanced at the weakening storm and at the shore behind him. Torglug understood his enemy's mind. Somewhere, beyond the ice, the Lady of Vines was even now hurrying away from her hunters.
"She is not escaping," Torglug sneered. "Jade kingdoms are belonging to Nurgle. All Gyron is being his domain. I am finding her. I am claiming my destiny."
Diamar glared back at the warlord.
"Only when you get past me."
"As you are saying," Torglug laughed.
The warlord circled around the pool at a run, ice creaking and cracking beneath his every step. Across from him, Diamar did the same. The two enemies reached one another in moments, Starblade pitted against the diseased corruption of Torglug's blighted axe. Slivers of corroded steel flew from the black axe as Diamar blocked his enemy's assault. Streaks of filth marred the purity of the Lightning Man's blade as the noxious enchantments of Nurgle sizzled against it. At last the furious struggle came to an end. The smallest spot of rot gained a hold upon Diamar's Starblade, the slightest pollution in its sanctity. This flaw gave way beneath Torglug's axe. The blackened blade slipped through his guard to chop down into the crest of his helm and then into the Sigmarite mask itself. Diamar's free hand caught at Torglug's wrist, striving to push the warlord back. Against the bloated bulk and tremendous strength of Nurgle's favored champion, he was unable to prevail. Inch by inch, the axe sank lower, hewing through the metal and into the flesh and bone beneath it. Diamar could feel the fiery sting of the axe's plague-infested edge racing through him.
"She is not escaping," Torglug promised, as he pushed the axe deeper and watched the light start to fade from Diamar's eyes. "I am claiming prize that the Grandfather is demanding. Be letting that truth speed in you back to Sigmar."
Torglug pulled away as Diamar's dying body blazed into light, and the stormcast spirit departed the Sea of Serpents. He shielded his eyes against the holy flare, finding its momentary brilliance even more painful than Grimm's warding lantern. Yet he took comfort from this hurt. For with Diamar's destruction, there was nothing to keep him from running down the Lady of Vines. The rot worm nestled inside him began to twist and writhe, undulating with such a frenzied spasm that Torglug fell to his knees in pain. The torment racking his body was unspeakable, yet at the same time there was a strange sense of comfort bound within that agony. This wasn't a punishment being meted out to him by Nurgle, but rather the plague god's expression of delight and appreciation that his favourite had vanquished the mighty Knight Azeros Diamar. The torture that crawled through Torglug wasn't a curse, but a blessing. From the slits in his helm, Torglug's three eyes watched as the many boils and pustules scattered about his skin began to slither across his flesh, oozing down his limbs or across his swollen belly, to clump together in triangular clusters that echoed the shape of the despicable fly rune which was Nurgle's sacred sigil. The pain was incredible, the horror of watching his skin ripple with sores. Yet as each of the clusters of boils gathered together, a thrill surged through Torglug's entire being. He could feel Nurgle's malign essence pouring into him, strengthening him, infecting him with still fouler corruption and disease. When it was finished, Torglug could see wisps of necrotic smoke drifting away from his mutated flesh. The rotworm in his belly grew still once more, no longer feeding Nurgle's power into its host. He had received his god's blessing, had been rewarded for the destruction of Diamar. It was but a taste, a sampling of the even greater gifts that would be his
once he captured Alariel for his master. Filled with the pestilent power of the Plague Father, Torglug was re-energized. He looked towards the shore, trying to pierce the veil of mist that clung about the beach. Dimly, he could perceive the radiant glow of the Queen Seed ahead. Raising his voice, Torglug shouted for Gorgas and the rest of his bodyguard. The Lady of Vines was close, and only her entourage of dryads remained to defy them. As he called out to his putrid Blight Kings, demanding them to brave the crumbling ice and head for shore, Torglug heard the keening song of his prey. Again he felt the commanding tones of her harmony, the appeal in her wordless melody. Somewhere, far across the sea, he knew the Jotunberg was stirring once more. Torglug hastened towards the shore, but he was too late. The giant's agitation sent tremors across the frozen sea. The surface crumbled away, pitching his followers into the deep. Torglug clutched at a sliver of broken pack ice as the world around him descended into catastrophic upheaval. In the very moment of his triumph, Torglug could only watch helplessly as all his plans fell into abject ruin.